Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Have you guys ever wanted to be up in the stars, looking down from the moon? Well, that's where I am right now. I'm up in the stars. I'm in the moon. I'm somewhere where no one's ever been before besides the astronauts. I'm here. You're down there.
That's my favorite part.
Thank you very much.
And with that, we begin our podcast for the day. It is the Fansmanship podcast. It is... what is today? Thursday, April 5th.
Gosh, April 5th.
It's been a while, Luke.
Or is it April 8th? What day is it today?
I don't know.
April 5th. You're correct. April 5th.
There it is. It's April 5th.
There it is.
There it is, y'all.
Been a long
time. So, welcome to the Fansmanship podcast with Luke Johnson. I am Owen Main, and we're here with you for some time today. We're going to be talking basketball is going to be the topic of this podcast. We'll have a baseball podcast.
Basketball.
Hopefully we'll have a baseball podcast later in the week. But for now, the focus is hoops.
Hoops.
We had the NCAA tournament.
Basketball.
Of course, the NCAA tournament ended and Kentucky won like I thought they would.
Like everyone thought they would.
But not everyone in our brackets picked except it, so we can talk about that.
Except for Bruce Bowen. Bruce Bowen thought that Kansas had a...
Bruce Bowen picked Kansas, huh?
He took Kansas.
I did not take Kansas.
He said Thomas Robinson was the better of the two power forwards. I can see why.
Yeah.
Jared Solinger has...
out of Solinger, as opposed to Davis?
Anthony Davis? I see. You were thinking of Davis.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking... well, because Solinger played the five, but he's more of a four.
Yeah.
He meant Solinger and Robinson.
I think all three of them are going to be very good pros.
I think Solinger's very polished. Yeah. I could see why he'd like Robinson because Robinson's rather explosive.
Uh huh.
But you know, much more raw. Solinger lacks lift on his inside game, which is a struggle. He reminds me a little bit of what's his name who came out of North Carolina with the last name Mays. He played with Felton.
Oh yeah. Was he left-handed?
No. He was a four.
Right.
He played for the Bobcats for a few years.
Yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He played with Felton, and he was like the go-to guy for that team.
Sure.
And they won the championship
that
year.
He was an offensive player inside. Yeah.
Yeah. And he averaged about 18 a game. But he went to the pros, and he didn't have any lift. Solinger kind of reminds me of him a little bit.
You got to have a little
scares
lift.
Me.
In college, if you're 6'9", 6'10".
Unless you're Tim Duncan, you're 7'1".
If you're 6'8", 6'9", in college, you can get away with not having any lift almost. Mm-hmm. If you have lift, that's a huge bonus. But when you get to the pros, you can't be 6'9", with limited lift unless you're Matt Bonner.
Yeah.
And you can shoot.
So, you know, I guess
you can rain threes.
Yeah, and I guess in a way that's a good argument on behalf of lingerings. You know, a lot of people are hoping that the college basketball changes it to a 2-year rule when it comes to declaring for the draft. And the reason being is because, you know, we were just talking about Harrison Barnes, who also declared. So did Jaren Solinger, the guy that we're talking about now. Solinger out of Ohio State, Harrison Barnes out of North Carolina. And both players, they're saying, had they left last year, would have been top five picks.
They might not be this year. Is that what you're saying?
Well, because of the what if factor.
Right.
But having the 2-year rule gives NBA teams plenty of time to assess talent. Because last I saw, Barnes is 14th in the player rating when it comes to the draft, and Solinger slipped at like 11 or 12.
Wow, and that's because we've seen more of them.
Exactly.
Teams have seen more of them. They've been able to make better evaluations of who they are and what they are. You know, it's interesting to me. You know, you get a guy like Solinger who's a freshman who doesn't have much lift, but he's somebody who everybody goes crazy. They go bananas over him last year.
Well, because I mean,
as a freshman,
because he comes out as a freshman and drops 18 and 12
because he's got great moves.
Yeah.
He's got great footwork.
Yeah.
But when you project that to the next level, he's not getting a lot more athletic, right?
Yeah.
At some point, you've got as athletic as you're going to be, and you may be great on one level, but. You know, I think he definitely has a ceiling at the next level. So
he can be
like a 15 guy, maybe it's like a 15-8 guy. But
yeah,
but he's got a ceiling. He's never going to be I think what Anthony Davis could be.
It's kind of interesting because you see these players. You know, I'm thinking of I'm thinking of like a Tyler Zeller or some of these guys who played all 4 years and they progressed each year. Zeller progressed each year, and I'm not saying that his ceiling is any higher than Solinger's, but it's interesting. You have these players who it almost seems like peak out their freshman year.
Zeller was never a one and done candidate.
No.
Barnes was.
You know, you see Barnes, you see Solinger. Right. These guys, in my opinion, I mean, and now, granted, I like, you know, Jared Solinger, especially, you know, between the two, I would take Solinger, but they're like that peak, exciting player who comes out their freshman year. And then a guy like Tyler Zeller, who his first year played behind Hansbrough,
right?
Who's similar players, actually, kind of similar.
Yeah.
Also a 4 year player,
right?
Who actually is playing well for the Pacers,
right?
But the expectations are lower. Oh, the player that I wanted to say who reminds me of sort of a Tyler Zeller, but actually is more dynamic, is Draymond Green over at Michigan State. Huh. Green played all 4 years with Michigan State.
Right.
Power forward. He was a National Player of the Year candidate, as was Solinger. Solinger, though, had more hype coming out of high school.
Do you think Draymond's going to be a better NBA player?
I almost am beginning to think so, because he's got the ability to pass out of the post.
Right.
He has a nice face-up game.
Sure.
And he cares. I would say, although Solinger comes off somewhat unselfish,
sure.
Draymond is a team athlete. You know, he's a team player.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
Anyways,
I agree. And the Izzo factor is big there. You know, I see the same thing that happened. You know, I'm a big UCLA homer. I see players like Aflalo and Collison who didn't stay all 4 years. But they were never, again, they were never this like...
But they stayed three.
They stayed three.
That's a lot.
And they were never the one-and-done kind of guy out of high school. They got better and better and better.
Yes.
And even once they get in the NBA now, that trajectory has stayed the same. For so many of these guys, we see their trajectory skyrocket, or, you know, perceived trajectory skyrocket to their freshman year of college. And then it plateaus once they get to the pros. One guy that I'm really impressed with this year, I gotta just say, when you talk about a one and done guy, Kevin Love, you talk about a guy who has
one of the few
who has continued to progress.
He's one of the few.
He dropped like 30 pounds, 40 pounds.
He looks great.
He grew a beard, and he's one of the few guys in the last 15 or 20 years who's gotten, you know, 40 and 15. He has games that are Barkley like that way, and even better
than numbers Charles Barkley. Yeah. I mean, you know, we all get off on Blake Griffin. We get off on a few of these power forwards who can really get up and finish.
Love's better than all.
Kevin Love does not get up and finish, guys. But Kevin Love is intelligent.
He uses his body.
And a lot of these guys are also intelligent when it comes to the game. But I think Kevin Love, that's what sets him apart. You watch the way the guy plays. And I like that Barkley comparison, although Love's about 5 inches taller. But
Love shoots threes.
But I like Barkley the comparison threes, right? Because Barkley had little lift on his game.
Yeah.
But he had that big old rear end, and he knew how to play the game.
And although Love's lost weight, he still does have a big rear end.
Well, he does. He's got, which is huge when you're a big guy in the league.
Yeah.
And he knows how to use it. And if you watch Kevin Love, he knows where the ball is going to carry him most of the time.
Yeah.
That's why he gets those rebounds.
Right.
He hardly ever gets off the floor to get the rebound.
He just gets good position.
He
pushes
knows,
guys under the
he
basket.
He knows where that ball is going to land.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Kevin Love's one of the few. But, you know, it'd be an interesting case study when it comes to, like, maybe the last 10 years with college athletes to compare these players who had all the hype their first year, and then compare the players who played, you know, 3 or 4 years, like the Nick Collisons,
like at least three,
the Tyler Zellers, the Hansbroughs, the Draymond Greens, who end up going pro.
How long does their NBA career last?
Yeah, and seeing how much effect they had on their team. And I would almost argue that even though those players never had the hype of a player like a Harrison Barnes or a Jared Solinger, they may have more effect on their NBA teams.
Collison's, at the NBA level.
And Collison's a perfect
Darren
example.
Darren Collison,
Darren Collison out of UCLA is a perfect example, because he gave pro scouts a lot of time to break down his game. And
if you
remember, after his sophomore year, there was a lot of negativity shrouding Darren Collison.
Because he was small.
He had what they call like a senior slump.
Right.
And it tends to happen, you guys, if you watch the college game enough. It's interesting. These guys like a Darren Collison, who play point guard, who are the most dynamic player on the team, in my opinion, end up demoting their shots to other players who have the hype. I don't know how that works. I don't know if it's sort of a brotherhood thing. I don't know what it is.
And with Collison,
but
Collison, you know, he had Love on his team, right? His last year. And Collison had a hitch in his jumper. I mean, it was,
he did.
It was, he shot high percentage.
Flaws, and there still are flaws in this game. But I'm saying the interesting case study would be to look at these players like a Darren Collison or like an even like an Aaron Aflalo who was not hyped coming out.
That's for me, that's the great example. I mean, he was a leader. Everybody talked about him when he was at UCLA.
Yes.
They talked about him as somebody who was a hard worker, a leader, a defensive guy. Actually, you know, similar to how people talked about Russell Westbrook, interestingly enough, although Westbrook has a lot more physical skills.
Uh-huh. I think people would say that they thought Westbrook left too early because he was a little bit raw.
Aflalo wasn't raw.
No, he never was raw, actually.
He never had great physical. I mean, he's 6'5 or 6'6, I think 6'5.
And he's not a jumper.
He's not a jumper, but he does have he jumps high on his jump shot.
Yes.
Beautiful
jump shot.
But he was always, you know, kind of the defensive guy. He was always that guy who I thought was going to be, you know, a good player in college.
He wanted to win games.
I never thought he would be anything once he got to the next level, honestly.
He wanted to win games.
I'm a UCLA fan, and I never thought he would be very good once he got to the next level.
And I would absolutely agree, and I think that pro scouts would agree. That's why he slipped.
But he's made himself, again, it's a guy who has continued to improve. And you see guys who get into the NBA and they get in the NBA on what they've accomplished, and they know, you know, any of those guys can go in and, you know, score 10 or 12 points in a game very easily. That's if you played, you know, if you're good enough to get drafted into the NBA, you can score 10 or 12, 15 points on any night. But who's going to make that next step beyond just, you know, being a scorer? Who's going to make that next step beyond
and
just
hey, Owen, since you have the computer next to you, you go ahead and pull up the draft with Aaron Aflalo because it'll be interesting to look at those players that were selected that year. Right. And see and sort of rank Aflalo in the mesh of those players. And I mean, look, guys, there are players who come out early, players like Derrick Rose, who we know are going to be great. Who we know, you know, Kevin Durant came out after his freshman year, dropped 26 a game for Texas. But
I remember thinking Aflalo was drafted maybe too high. Did he go in the second round?
He went, I think, 29th or 30th that year.
Was that right after the Pistons won the championship?
Yeah, he went 29th or 30th to the Pistons.
Hang on 1 second.
And Collison also slipped. Collison went a little bit earlier than expected.
He was like before 20.
He was 14th or 15th. Yeah, yeah. But you have to remember, both these players were great players in college from a college standpoint.
Right.
But the argument I want to make now as we pull up the draft here before we go ahead and introduce some of these players that were in that draft with Aaron Aflalo is I want to make a point here that these players that come out 3 or 4 years later that aren't hyped, that are known in the college game, that are respected, that are even maybe thought of, you know, like even maybe thought of as, you know, players of the year candidates.
Yeah.
I actually think Aflalo was in that finals list that year. As was Kevin Love, but these players who weren't hyped like a Kevin Love, you know, Kevin Love was incredibly hyped. Aflalo
didn't go in the same draft as Love.
No. I think Aflalo go
07. I think Love went in 08, maybe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is that right?
So they didn't play together.
Aflalo and Collison left.
That's right.
No,
Collison and Love played together.
So
and Aflalo left the year before.
Right, Aflalo left.
So what is that 06 draft?
All right, so it's the Greg Oden draft.
Oh.
Yeah, 07. 07 draft.
The 06. Okay, so 07. So Aflalo's rookie year was 07, 08?
Yeah. So Oden went first.
So there was a one-and-done guy who was highly touted.
Number two, Kevin Durant.
And you can't blame people for taking Greg Oden. No. Kevin Durant, one of the greats.
And this wasn't a great draft, just P.S. I think beyond Kevin Durant, there's not a lot going on here. Al Horford, who's decent, but he's not a three pick decent. He hasn't done that.
Interesting enough, though. But what I like about Al Horford is sort of what we're talking
about. He's a winner. He's got better. He's over a winner. Time.
He stayed with Florida. Right. They won those championships. Right. He was seasoned.
Right.
No, he's not going to be a Charles Barkley or Karl Malone.
Sure,
but he's going to give you 18 and 10 every night.
You actually had three Florida guys go in the top nine. You had Horford went. Joakim went
ninth or tenth, right?
Joakim went ninth, and Corey Brewer went seventh.
Who flopped.
So after Horford, Mike Conley Jr., Jeff Green, Yi Jin Lan, talk about a flop. The Bucks could have got like a Joakim or there wasn't a lot there. I'll be honest. We had after Yi Jin Lan, we had Corey Brewer, Brandon Wright from North Carolina,
who also was a one and done athlete,
right? And
was
and
fantastic
hasn't ever
with
done
North Carolina.
No, nothing. No. Joakim Noah is another one of those guys who stayed around.
And so my point being
and is a valuable guy.
It's sort of interesting, Owen. It's these players who stay,
uh-huh.
who slip in the draft a little bit, who had they left their freshman year, maybe would have been like a top five pick. Like Joakim, I remember when they won the first championship, people were like, oh, he should leave. You know, he's a top five pick. He might be two or three because he was tall.
He wanted to stay and hang out with those Florida co-heads.
No, but I mean, really, probably. Joakim comes off a little bit that way. But aside from that note, Joakim, I remember after that first championship, there was talk, hey, he might be even like a number one pick. Because he's tall. Because
he was tall and active.
It's funny how
he was active.
Isn't it funny how predictable the NBA media is and these scouts? You're tall and you could, it's sort of the Greg Oden syndrome. Now,
who was the
last
top five pick who got picked because they were tall and athletic? Who's actually panned out?
Yeah,
the best. Kevin Garnett. He wasn't even top five, though, right?
We'd have to look at the draft.
Yeah. Anyway, so let me keep going down here before we get to Aflalo. After Noah, we had Spencer Hawes, who was a freshman, and he kind of fizzled with the Kings. I thought he was good. I thought he was better than he ever
has actually
been.
Playing okay with the Sixers.
I always thought he was going to be better.
He's okay with the Sixers. He starts.
AC Law went 11th.
out of Texas A&M. He's a joke.
Okay, after his freshman year, Thaddeus Young went 12th.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. He's like a fringe starter.
He's a fringe starter. Yeah,
as a 12th pick, I want a starter. I want a starter with the 12th pick in the draft.
Thad's always kind of reminded me of?
Who's that?
He's like a shorter, he's a less big version, or smaller is a better way to say that. He's a smaller version of like a Lamar Odom.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a fringe starter.
I think also...
he's dynamic. I think, he'll never polish his game.
Right. You got Julian Wright, Al Thornton, Rodney Stuckey.
Julian Wright's a great example. He was one and done at Kansas.
He was a sophomore, actually. He played 2 years. But still, he went out a little
early. I think he started 1 year. That was it.
Al Thornton, Rodney Stuckey came out after his sophomore year at Eastern Washington.
Okay.
And was taken 15th. And he's been pretty successful.
He's been okay.
Nick Young, Sean Williams... from Boston College, Marco Bellinelli. So this draft, like 18 through 28, had a bunch of
role players.
But decent. Javaris Crittenden went to the Lakers, 19.
We know what
Gilbert Arenas did to him. Jason Smith, Daquan Cook, Jared Dudley. That was a good pick. It looks like a lot better pick now that he's... Dudley's playing pretty well for the Suns.
Yeah, but I think Dudley fits
he's
well
into
just
a legitimate
the Suns system.
Two guard. We have Wilson Chandler. Went 23. Rudy Fernandez went 24.
Wilson Chandler's too thug to ever pan out.
Somebody named Morris Almond went to the Jazz with 25. Aaron Brooks went 26. Then Aflalo went 27.
Brooks had a couple years that he was good, but that's about it.
Nobody's had. I think you could say that and Marcus Williams went 33rd. Josh McBob went 37th.
You'd rank maybe two or three of those players above Aflalo.
Marc Gasol went 48th in that draft to the Lakers. That's how they got Powell, but Mark's pretty good too. DJ Strawberry went 59th to the Suns.
I remember DJ. He was one of those 4-year players.
Daryl's son. So beyond the Durant, Horford, maybe Noah.
No, you would rank Noah over Aflalo.
Right. But Aflalo might be the fifth best pro from that draft right now.
Yeah.
So, and he was a 27th player.
So that's the point I'm making, Owen. It's interesting
that was like an 8-minute point, but it's an important point to make.
But it's interesting to see that dichotomy. These are players who we've had time to see, who I think
you can actually evaluate that draft now.
Who I think primarily, not saying that they didn't want to go pro. Every kid wants to go pro. Shoot, you and I wanted to go pro when we were kids. Andy wanted to go pro. Yeah, I mean, everyone wanted to go pro. But these are kids who cared about the college game. Probably a myriad of reasons they stayed, but they really cared about the college game. Probably loved the
they
fact
cared about their experience,
that they were
something.
College grades in a sense. Who slipped in drafts mainly because NBA scouts had enough time to see them.
But pick out all their flaws.
Yes. But the point being here, the hypothesis that's been almost proven by that draft alone, that many people who get caught up in the NBA hype forget is that flaws and all, a seasoned player from that draft alone, in my opinion, just about becomes the greater player. Now, Kevin Durant, we all know, is a freak. He could have come out of high school and he'd be as great as he is today. I mean, I saw the guy make a move on LeBron, another great high school player, yesterday. I mean, he hit a floater from like 18 feet.
Right.
That was
who's that? Durant?
It was Durant.
Yeah.
You don't hit floaters from 18 feet like that.
Yeah. He just floats.
And then LeBron the next play posted up Durant
hit and, like, hit dunked it, on him.
Hit, no, hit a finger roll from like 12 feet.
Gervin style.
You don't do that.
Right.
So minus some of these, like, we're talking top 20 NBA sure. players of all
sure.
time.
Sure.
I think it's probably true that the Nick Collisons, the Aaron Aflalos.
You mean Darren Collison?
Darren Collison. Nick Collison was also, he's a role player. Yeah. But he was
Kansas.
He was
good Kansas. Supersonic.
I like that.
He was the last,
I like
he was that the I last thought living of Nick Supersonic. Collison.
He was I like the last that I living of Nick Collison. He's like that hard worker guy who, like,
did he play with Drew Gooden?
Doesn't have any skills, but he just, like, plays hard.
You know what? He used to be able to shoot it in college. He had, like, a nice little 17-foot game.
He did. You're right. And he was actually, like, kind of a go-to guy on that team.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Wayne Simeon. There's a guy who never panned.
So
Kirk Heinrich was on that team.
Definitely. We can look at things like that when it comes to college. Speaking of college, the tournament just got over. So I have some questions for you.
Okay.
One thing I want to talk about is kind of who impressed you? Who did you see and you went, oh, that guy's better than I had anticipated? Or maybe you saw like a Solinger and you said, well, he doesn't really get off the ground like I thought. For me, I didn't see a lot of poised guard play in the tournament. I think that was something that was missing, which is interesting.
Well, we're coming down from the Jimmer effect.
Right, the Jimmer effect, but it seems like every year
we had a lot of great guards last year. If you remember, we had Jimmer
every year the last few. I mean,
but if you really think about the last year, we had Jimmer who had a big time year.
Okay,
we had Brandon Knight who was huge for Kentucky last year.
That's what I'm saying. Like some poised guards is all I'm saying. Like, just are there guards who
I think the kid out of,
because poised guards are what makes the NCAA tournament what it is.
The one guard I was impressed with. That you and I actually talked about was the kid out of forgive me for drawing a blank for a second here, the kid out of Wolford, the kid whose team knocked off Duke. Sorry guys, I'm drawing a blank.
Let me look it up.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on the name because he's plays for a team that knocked off Duke, so they were a 15 seed. Forgive me for that, but I was impressed with him. He's about the only guard that I. Really was impressed with. Can I quickly say
who else impressed you or didn't?
Definitely Anthony Davis. I know that that's kind of a popular pick, but a guy who blocks shots and rebounds like that first and foremost before he scores like he does is phenomenal.
You know what and it was actually Lehigh.
Lehigh, excuse me, yeah.
That knocked off Duke.
They sound like a Wofford or whatever.
And Lehigh.
It was the leading scorer. I think he was a junior.
Let me see here. Roster.
But
roster
just,
for Lehigh.
But just poised, incredibly poised. He reminds me of a player who I think is really underrated when it comes to naming college grades. He reminds me of like an Eric Maynard, but taller.
CJ McCollum. Yeah, that guy was.
If you guys remember Eric Maynard when he was in college, same type of player who had that will to beat those big teams.
So the thing I like about the tournament is you find out about CJ McCollum's of the world, and CJ McCollum might have gone from a fringe second rounder to a mid first rounder just in that tournament potentially. Sure. And that's one of my favorite parts about the NCAA tournament is that you get to see a guy's poise under that much pressure.
Sure.
And if somebody can handle that pressure, I think, you know, it's one of the reasons why Aflalo has been able to, and I use Aflalo as the poster child for that conversation we were having earlier. It's one of the reasons, you know, that a guy like Aflalo, you can stick with him and he will get better because he's been to three Final Fours or two Final Fours in a row and then he left. So I don't think it's a bad thing to think about. One guy who was really good, one kind of smart-ass question that I can ask about the tournament is how long until Kentucky's...
Well, let me finish a player that I think is really highly underachieved, besides Harrison Barnes, is Terrence Jones.
Yeah, the lefty.
Yeah.
Dude has incredible physical skills. Incredible.
But there's something lacking
in his brain. He reminds me of Odom.
Well, I didn't say that, but...
He reminds me of Odom, man. He takes plays off. He takes possessions off.
I thought Odin was gonna. I think Odin and everybody else thought he was. I thought Odin and everybody else thought.
I meant Odom Lamar.
Odom.
He's
Lamar.
Left-handed. Terrence Jones. Odin. Yeah, Terrence Jones is left-handed.
God, Odin was great.
Terrence Jones is left-handed, and so Basically, what I'm saying
Lamar's
is that
more dynamic,
but Jones can handle the ball a little bit. Jones is stronger.
He doesn't have a jump shot.
Not as good. And that's the thing that he's going to have to get.
He's kind of big, and he's not. You know what it is? I don't know. Terrence Jones, you know, I saw him play a high school game on TV when he was the big thing. He was top 10. It's funny. You watch some of these kids. I guess high school is the same as college, right? Uh-huh. Because you're trying to get drafted to college. That's kind of what you're doing.
Sure.
And you're trying to show off. I saw this game between Terrence Jones and Josh Smith at UCLA.
Big Josh Smith, yeah. Who also was
a top 5 or 10 recruit.
What a waste.
And Terrence Jones was a top 5 or 10 recruit. Yeah. And I watched these two play a game on ESPN2.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is a great opportunity because Terrence Jones was sort of still deciding. And Josh Smith was committed to UCLA. And I thought, God, these must be great players. Yeah. And, you know, I watched those two play even in high school. And there were a couple players who were too short to go to UCLA or too short to go to Kentucky.
But you liked watching them better.
Who I honestly thought were better players.
Yeah.
And there's some of these kids like a Terrence Jones, and I might even say Josh Smith.
Say it.
It's the Lamar Odom effect, right? Uh-huh. There's some of these players who are so physically gifted.
Oh, my God.
That you're right. They take quarters off. We're not even talking plays off.
They're just not there
they
mentally.
They take quarters off. Yeah. Lamar Odom, I mean, if you've watched him this year, he doesn't give a rat's about being in Dallas. Now, I don't care if you're ticked off. You're a pro. Right. You know, Lamar Odom, besides Dirk Nowitzki, if you really think about it, I was going to name somebody else, and I was thinking, God, there's nobody else.
Jason Terry?
No. Lamar Odom, besides Dirk Nowitzki, is the best player on the Dallas Mavericks. Mm. Besides Dirk Nowitzki, Lamar Odom is the most gifted player on the Dallas Mavericks. Mm. Have you heard anything from Lamar Odom this year?
No, because he came into camp fat and stuff, too.
He was super fat.
Yeah. Let's move on really quick.
So Terrence Jones, anyways.
Terrence Jones is a bummer. Yeah, and
big bummer.
I said, you know, listen. That being said, he guarded the other team's best player in the final.
Thomas Robinson.
He guarded Thomas Robinson the whole game.
Robinson played okay, though.
He gave up like, what, 2 inches probably, and probably about 20 pounds to Robinson, and did a decent job all game. I mean, he was working hard. If you watch that game again, down low, all Kansas was doing was pushing Davis, and all Jones was trying to do was push Robinson. Those guys were so tired at the end of the game. But I think given the right NBA system and situation, I think Jones could be good. But he's one of those like high risk, high reward guys for
sure.
Okay,
before you ask the next question, I want to ask you a little side question.
Okay.
And I think people who listen to this are going to like this question. It's sort of weird and mixed. If you are a WNBA team, okay, or an NBA team. So we're talking, you own the WNBA or the NBA team, whichever these teams may be, okay? Basically, you're owner of two teams. Who will have...
And the Sparks and the Lakers.
No. Okay, perfect. And you only get to choose one of these two for your first overall pick. Who do you take as the dynamic player who's going to affect that league the greatest? Brittany Griner or Anthony Davis?
Here's the thing that scares me about Griner. Uh-huh. Is that the injury factor. I get worried about the Yao Ming injury factor. She is that physically different from all the other players, just like Yao was 7'6". She's that physically different that I worry about her body breaking down.
Okay.
And I think that's a higher risk. Again, higher risk. Whoa. Hey, now. My computer just decided to go. Wow, that ball hit well to left.
Wow.
Maybe that was the Matt Kemp home run from tonight. Dodgers were winning last time I checked, 5-1. Getting back, Brittany Griner, I think, is a higher risk, high reward kind of situation. I think when you talk about...
Because if she pans out, she's like the Wilt Chamberlain of WNBA basketball.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, monstrous.
She's a 2015... Or the Shaq is she's a 2015 women's player in the WNBA, which is really good, I think.
And the game's played at a different speed.
At her speed,
potentially. So that, like, in the NBA is like 32 and 20.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So she has the potential to be the more impactful player. But I think and I think there's also some risk with Davis. I guess I'd take if it all was the same as far as how much money I would make and all those things like that. In other words,
this is like aside from that stuff.
Yeah, this is like all else being equal, I would probably take Griner.
Oh, you would? Interesting.
I probably would. I think Davis is going to be a good NBA player.
I think he's going to be great.
He's probably going to be an all-star, but he's not going to be the top player in the league. He doesn't have the potential to be the best player in the league. And
no.
Griner could be that the no. first
Dwight,
year she plays.
Dwight Howard's going to rule the center world for...
But Griner could be that the first year that she plays.
Absolutely.
I think
the best player in the league.
I think Davis has potential.
Who's going to stop Brittany Griner?
Exactly.
Now, what I like about Anthony Davis is he reminds me of like a way better version of Joakim Noah in that he rebounds, he blocks shots, he doesn't mind if he scores, but when he scores big. That's why he's a better version of Joakim Noah, because Joakim, if you've ever seen Joakim's shot, don't look at it. But but Anthony's, I mean, I was really kind of weirded out by Anthony Davis early on. I thought, God, why is everyone freaking over this player?
And what's up with that unibrow?
Does he have a unibrow?
Seriously?
I haven't looked. I don't look at unibrows, Owen. I don't check out Anthony
his mom
Davis
wears a his mom see. wears a shirt that says "Fear the Brow."
You know what cracks me up though? My wife made a point. Anthony Davis is going to definitely have to put on some weight when he goes to the pros.
Right. I mean, he was wearing this
T-shirt, and my wife went, "God, I've never seen a more awkward looking man." He was wearing this T-shirt, and his shoulders looked like, I mean, they were expansive.
Yeah, he grew like a foot.
His shoulders, in
his last year in high school, he grew like a foot.
It looks like he was wearing football pads.
He was
but
like
he's
a,
not.
He was like a 6 foot guard.
Really?
He was like 6'2" until his senior year.
Are you serious?
And in his senior year, he grew like 10 inches.
So he was like a guard.
Was he good when he was a guard? Well, right. So he
that
can shoot.
That would be interesting to ask his coach.
That's why he can handle the ball a little bit. That's why his free throws are so nice.
So he was legit as a guard.
I mean, I don't know if he was a D1 player as a guard, but he was.
Isn't that funny?
He was a high school basketball player.
Not trying to endorse faith on this thing, but. How do you not believe in God when that kind of stuff happens? It's like, I mean, either that or evolution's really unfair. Because, wow.
See that? Fear the brow.
Whoa.
Fear the brow.
I fear that.
Yeah.
Look at how they kind of go down like he's a vampire.
I know, dude. I'm telling you.
Wow.
And he's chosen to let
look
to
at that. Look at those. He looks evil.
Yeah, he's intimidating. But you're right. He's going to have to put on some weight. I think Anthony Davis is going to end up being
Tyson Chandler, who drops almost 20 a game.
Potentially, if he puts on weight,
I don't think Chandler
was ever that skinny.
How about
but
just
Davis
saying,
has a big shoulder?
How about
frame.
Just saying a less free, a much less, but still me comparing him to this player is huge.
Kevin Garnett,
a much less freakish version of like Dwight Howard,
or Kevin Garnett, somewhere in between.
Well, I wouldn't say much less freakish than Kevin Garnett. I would say much less freakish than Dwight Howard.
Okay, I would say
a B version of Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, yeah.
Who blocks more shots?
Which
though.
Is incredible, right? Anyway, so I also want to talk about a player who was a number one pick. We've been talking about draft picks and who was a good college player at Oklahoma. This guy, and who also has some
Big Country Reeves.
Is it interesting?
No, he was drafted like fifth,
Oklahoma State,
fifth or sixth.
Big
oh.
Country.
Oh yeah,
same year
right.
as Edelman.
Sorry, my bad.
1996 draft.
My bad.
Here UCLA won the championship. They had to go through Big Country.
Obana went ninth, and he ended up being a flop.
Yeah, I liked Ed Obana. Anyway, he had a lot of injuries.
And
he was,
Charles Obana.
The both the Obanas were super athletic, but Ed had
Charles
injuries.
Charles went 30th the next year to the Pistons. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Dropping knowledge.
Dropping it.
So Blake Griffin has freak athletic ability.
Okay.
Like the freakiest, one of the freakiest athletes that
like
we've
we're
seen.
Talking like unibrow freaky, but no unibrow.
But no unibrow. Like
it's just his skills. His skills embody the unibrow of
Anthony Davis. Yeah. So here's the thing that I've seen about Griffin this year.
And he's dropping jump shots too a little bit.
Well, a little bit.
Well, more than last year.
Yeah, more than last year. That's not saying a lot, but yeah.
Oh, you're right.
so he's still dunking on people, which is appropriate.
Cool,
whatever.
It's cool.
I've heard his teammates tell him that he needs to chill out a little bit even because he's going to start getting himself hurt. And this is the thing when people are talking about Griffin versus Love.
No
Griffin,
comparison.
Love is the one I want.
Absolutely.
Sorry. I mean, I love watching Blake Griffin.
Absolutely.
But
Griffin could get there.
It's been last year and this year with Griffin. And if it happens for three more years where he keeps going without getting another significant injury,
yeah,
and he's freaky athletic like this, I'll be very surprised. Very surprised. Here's what I saw last night. And they played the Lakers last night, and Pau Gasol got posterized twice.
Which is common.
Which is okay. Yeah,
because he's more of a finesse player.
Here's what I say: at least Powell's going for the block and not just letting him sit there.
He's not pulling like
the first one was for sure. And the first one was for sure an offensive foul.
I meant four blocks. My bad.
The first one was for sure offensive foul. But it kind of doesn't matter when you're that high above the other guy, I guess. But what I want to say is,
when your feet are kicking people in the face, and that's the offensive foul.
It was his hand judo chopping his face.
I'm making a joke, but you know.
So, but he basically shed Gasol with his left arm, dunked over him freakishly, like, because he's a freak. But he stands there and stares at Gasol.
What? He just stared at him?
He just stood over him and stared at him.
Blake Griffin stare. I've seen that.
It's
freaky, kind of.
It's kind of freaky, but he's going to get himself in trouble. He just needs...
With Pau Gasol?
Well, he doesn't just do it to Pau.
You mean Kevin Garnett?
No, Kevin Garnett's not going to do anything.
Kevin Garnett's mean, dude.
No, Kevin Garnett's like Pau in reality. Kevin Garnett just chops his lips more often. Yeah, okay. You ever seen that fight that Kevin Garnett got in?
So Joakim, you're thinking he's going to do it to Joakim?
No, I think he's going to. I think when Matt,
dude, but Joakim gets pissed though. Think about Joakim.
I think somebody like Matt Barnes is going to get him on a fast break, and
oh, screw Matt Barnes, man.
But I'm just saying he did it to Kobe back in the day.
Yeah, I actually respected that.
What that he like tried to hurt Kobe? But I'm saying that somebody like Matt Barnes or somebody in that vein.
Side note: if there was a scandal going on in the NBA and it wasn't the Saints, I was the coach of some team, that would be the scandal that I told Matt Barnes to hurt Kobe Bryant. Okay, go ahead.
So whoever it is, I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody's going to take umbrage. I watched that, and even if I wasn't a Laker fan, honestly.
But why does it bug you?
I would have taken, because he's just.
They all do it, Owen.
And so it doesn't bug me that,
like,
he's doing it.
How come
it
doesn't bug you that Kobe is known for, like, I mean, come on. Have you seen?
Let me just finish my thought.
Sorry.
Let me just finish my thought.
I tend to get on you Laker fans.
He stands over Pau just like he stood over other players this year. And if I'm that other guy, logically or not, I'm pissed. And he doesn't have to stand over them afterwards and look at them. And if he's going to keep jumping out of the gym like he is, he's putting himself at risk every single time he does it anyway. He's just increasing that risk every time he stands over somebody and says, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, it's basically, what are you going to do about it? And if I'm that guy, totally worth it for me to wait until the next 2-3 games down the road,
so
next time I play him.
Between this
I hold
and
a grudge
and
on that.
So what's difference? So what's the difference between this and what the Saints have done?
What's the difference between that? What did the 49ers do to the Saints to start that?
Trying to hurt somebody?
What did the 49ers do to the Saints to start that?
Nothing.
Nothing. What did Blake Griffin do? He stood over and showed
him
up.
Come on. These are men, dude. Get over it.
Men don't get over it. You know that? Come on.
Wow, Owen.
Come on.
I can't believe this is coming out of your mouth. When for years you have endorsed the buttholeness of Kobe Bryant.
I don't endorse it. I think Kobe put himself at risk too when he shows other guys up.
I think if you look at the replay of that Ricky Rubio injury, who had lit up Kobe a few times, I think Kobe was ticked, and I think there's something there.
Dude, that's a big allegation, Kobe hater.
No. I've talked to a lot of people who think the same thing who aren't Kobe haters. Okay, whatever. You see, I haven't even
seen the injury. So
you Laker fans always brush off Kobe stuff.
No, I'm not brushing it off. I'm saying that absolutely Kobe has put himself at risk.
Okay, so let Blake Griffin be great like Kobe's great. Let him be great.
The thing about Kobe is that, like, people have hurt Kobe, so he still plays great.
I think Blake Griffin will still play great if he doesn't, like, blow out his knee.
Which is what's going to happen when somebody
if he doesn't
side checks
like
him.
Blow out his knee.
When Bynum Berea's Griffin.
Oh my
it's
God.
Gonna...
If Andrew Bynum hurts Blake Griffin, I'm hurting Andrew Bynum. Because Andrew Bynum has been crap until this year.
38 and what, 15 last night?
Until this year?
No, he had stretches.
No,
in
come on.
Years.
Andrew Bynum is the
he
most
had like 10
whiny,
or 15 game stretches.
Piece of crap the Lakers have ever had until
all
this
right.
year.
Wow, you're on your Laker hater juice tonight.
Because here you are talking about Blake Griffin.
All I'm saying,
he gives the stare.
I personally
on,
don't
man.
Care.
Kobe used to walk around with his posse, and, you know, Phil talked about it. I mean, come on.
Kobe never had a posse. Kobe
he had
a posse.
A posse. Kobe had a posse.
He doesn't have a posse.
So you don't believe Phil Jackson?
Kobe's a loner.
You think Phil Jackson
Kobe's a loner.
You think Phil Jackson was making that up? Why would Phil Jackson even have to make that up?
Did Phil tell you that he had a posse?
Did you read his book?
I've read one of his books.
Which one? The last season?
The last season, yes.
There's a section in the last season where he talks about Kobe always having a posse going on the trips and all this stuff. And
okay.
Phil's like, dude, chill out.
Okay.
Like,
he didn't have an Iverson posse. Kobe never had an Iverson posse. Come on. Kobe's a loner, dude. When it comes down to it, Kobe's a loner. Here's what I'm saying about Griffin. Let me just make my point.
Kobe's like the Matt Brody of Coast Union. Matt, I love you if you ever listen to this, but okay, sorry. Go ahead. Keep going.
Great player. So Griffin, no, all I'm
saying.
I wasn't
comparing the two. I was just saying. All I'm saying. You know, anyways, just progress.
All I'm saying is that.
I don't want to take off Matt if he ever listens to this.
All I'm saying is that the things that Blake Griffin does put him in jeopardy from a completely objective place. Yes, if I was Powell, I would be mad. But
and he's a competitor, and that's what he does.
But he puts himself in jeopardy by doing those things, and you don't have to, is all I'm saying. You have a choice at that point to stand over somebody or not.
Physically gifted?
Then you better protect that physical gift by not trying to get other guys to wreck you. But you're saying you don't have to.
I think if Kevin Love had the physical ability, he would jump over people like that too.
I don't care about jumping over. I care about standing over them and staring at them.
But Owen, you've played enough sports to know.
I'm not saying he doesn't have the right to do it.
The emotions can kind of.
Oh, yeah.
You're fired up. I mean,
I was thinking about that the other day. The only thing I ever did, like,
I mean, I get excited when I think about it.
Big time trash talking. The only thing I did was I blew a kiss to the Mission Prep bench one time because one of their players made a three over me at the beginning of the game and blew me a kiss afterwards. And actually, it's somebody who one of our songs is named after. His name is Matt Size. Made a three, blew me a kiss, and I went back and I scored probably like two or three baskets in a row and ran by their whole bench and blew their whole bench a kiss, and that was
your one trash talking.
I thought that
moment.
Was like a big deal. I told a guy to get off me and got a technical for him one time.
That's awesome.
I'm digressing.
Get off of me.
I'm digressing.
Get off of me.
Yeah, Matt Jenny liked that. We're really digressing into some Coast Union stuff here.
Get off of me.
Let's talk about the Lakers because you hate them so much.
No, I don't hate
Lakers. You hate Kobe so much. Let's talk about
this.
This
is the problem
bit.
With Laker fans. You guys like to belittle people in the corners.
Let's
who
talk
all
about
of a sudden
a
hate the Lakers let's because talk I just talk because I think Andrew Bonham hasn't been good till this year.
Let me just ask a question. I heard on a radio show today that somebody said, well, there's I think five teams that could win the championship was what the expert said. I'm using big air quotes because you guys can't see me.
The Bulls, the Thunder, the
Bulls,
Heat.
Thunder,
the Spurs,
Heat.
Lakers, right?
Spurs, and then they added the Lakers. Are the Lakers really a top five team in the NBA, Luke?
Well, you're asking me a question when there's 30 teams in the league or 30 plus teams.
But are they in that conversation for having a chance at the championship?
The only teams that I would put in that conversation right now are the Heat, the Thunder, and the Bulls.
And I'm in agreement with you. I tried to set you up, and I would rank
the Spurs above the Lakers right now. They're hot. They've won 9 in a row.
How does Popovich do it?
He's brilliant.
How does he keep doing
that? Greg Popovich will go down as one of the most underappreciated coaches, I think, in NBA history.
Oh, yeah. I think he's right behind, like, Jackson Auerbach. I think he's right up there with Riley.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he's right up there with some of those.
I mean, I was
Chuck
watching.
Daly.
I watched the previews.
He's in that group
I watched
for
the
sure.
previews last night. And now, granted, Tim Duncan is a sort of a self-motivated guy.
Right.
But he's talk about breaking down, right? I mean, he's big. He's 7 feet. It's that time where he breaks down. He's 30,
yeah.
35.
Yeah.
But he was playing with passion last night. I was watching these games against the Celtics, and I was thinking, I actually wrote an article like a year ago on fansmanship, and I think I ticked off Owen and Andy where I talked about closet cheerleaders, and I kind of bagged NBA coaches and how coaching is sort of a joke now in the NBA. But Greg Popovich is one of the few who I think Tim Duncan is responding to something on the sideline. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's a great segue because the Spurs are very good, but it's a great segue. You talk about coaches who have big men that are responding to them. Mm-hmm. There's something going on in the East for a team that's been in the finals recently, the Orlando Magic. And they have a big man.
They've actually been hot lately, too.
Well, they've been hot, except tonight I think they were losing to the Knicks pretty bad. Today,
well, let me just say... Let
today
me
in shoot-around, let me finish the premise here.
Okay.
Because I think...
It's going to go along with this.
Yeah. That
you're like masterminding this. This is weaving along.
I'm weaving it along. That's what we got to do in the fansmanship podcast.
It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be like pulling together. When like a novelist pulls together like five or six chapters.
Or like when all the legs on a jellyfish move to in harmony as one to be able to move through the ocean and swim with the current. That's what we're doing here. And that's the motion that Luke was making with his hands.
I
love
that.
So Dwight Howard came out, or Stan Van Gundy came out today and said, basically made it known to the media that Dwight Howard has been trying to get him fired for almost a year now.
Okay.
And Van Gundy was drinking a Diet Pepsi. And
that was kind of funny.
And was just kind of chilling out with the media and saying, hey, yeah, this has been going on for a while. He said, the only thing I don't like is BS. And I really enjoyed the tone of it. At the very end of Van Gundy's interview, Dwight Howard came up. After Van Gundy had just been talking about how Dwight Howard was trying to get him fired, Howard came up and tried to answer the questions, and he was getting all the same questions, and he was he's not coming off real rosy in this situation.
Look, Dwight Howard, okay, I've never been shy. I'm going to go on the air and say this. Dwight Howard is not good enough to make demands. Period. Mm-hmm. Dwight Howard, mm-hmm. If you look at his track record, you want me to drop some knowledge, Owen?
Knowledge.
Dwight Howard wanted them to re-sign Gilbert Arenas to some package after last year.
Apache.
If you watched Gilbert Arenas last year with Orlando.
Why haven't the Lakers signed Gilbert Arenas, damn it?
Okay, let's stay on point here.
God dang it.
The point is...
They needed to sign Arenas and Iverson, and then they'd have a starting lineup that included Artest at the four, Arenas at the three, or Kobe at the three, Iverson at the one, and Arenas at the two. Can you imagine with Bynum or Gasol in the middle? Oh, dude.
You want like a new soap opera.
Hey, if they're not going to win the championship, let's just get it out there. Go ahead, sorry.
This is a guy who wanted Gilbert Arenas signed to a package deal last year after his single season with the Magic, which wasn't spectacular, and it was not the right direction for the team.
Uh-huh.
This is a guy who didn't want to re-sign Hedo Turkoglu 3 years ago when they went to the finals against the Lakers.
Turkoglu.
Who is no good anymore, but Turkoglu, who I think had he continued to play off of what he did in the finals against the Lakers that year.
Yeah, he got a lot of money from Toronto and just kind of took it. And
I mean,
his
how would you not
crap.
Fail in Toronto? I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
But I'm saying Dwight Howard, as good as he can be, I know defensively, and I know that there's probably people across America who would be like, what in the heck are you saying? Dwight Howard is one of the greats. And I'm going to agree. Dwight Howard is one of the great centers this league has ever seen because he's big. He's also skilled defensively. Dwight Howard is grossly raw offensively.
He's kind of like Shaq.
Shaq is way more dominant than Dwight Howard.
Shaq's first few years, he wasn't super polished offensively.
He wasn't polished, but come on.
He was dominant. He was way more dominant.
Shaq was just physically gifted beyond Dwight Howard.
Okay.
Dwight Howard needs to shut his mouth and just play basketball. And that crap he did at the end of that where he walks up and he awkwardly, what's the plan tonight, coach? It's like, shut the heck up. You know what? I've never been a Stan Van Gundy fan. I think he's kind
of... I'm a big fan of Stan Van Gundy.
He looks like
and
a little...
And Jeff Van Gundy. Either one of them can coach
Lakers. He
looks
like one of
Mike
Santa
Brown.
Claus's little elves who's all fat and packaged
knows
in his little...
stuff. If you're a professional and
but what
you...
I like about Stan Van Gundy is Stan Van... Yeah, let me finish.
Yeah.
I've never been like if I was going to have a team, my point being is I wouldn't pick Stan Van Gundy. But what I respect about Stan Van Gundy is you watch the interview. Stan Van Gundy, like he said in the interview, does not BS.
Right.
And Stan Van Gundy wants to win games.
He's going to treat people like adults.
And I think
he's not going to play mind games.
That's the reason why Stan Van Gundy
like
is misperceived by a lot of his players because he's one of the few coaches who doesn't take crap.
Doesn't coddle him.
Nope.
Yeah.
And you saw it. You know, Dwight Howard comes up. He tries to be Mr. Star, who's just going to sweep the moment off. And Van Gundy's not impressed.
I think that's the exact noise that he made.
Van Gundy looks over at him like, well, whatever. We're trying to win a game tonight against the Knicks, I guess.
The Moon Man
you know?
Noise.
Yeah. So, you know, so my point being is that, you know, Dwight Howard, he's not looking too rosy and peachy. And it's really sad.
And he doesn't deserve to.
It's sad.
And he doesn't deserve to.
No, he doesn't deserve to.
All right. So we are almost to the playoffs here.
Isn't that weird?
We're getting down to the wire. Shortened season.
13 games away.
I've actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's quick.
The shortened season.
Like a quick burst.
I actually like it better.
And we can watch baseball a lot longer.
We can watch baseball, and I'm excited about the baseball season. The Dodgers picked up a 5-3 win tonight. Matt Kemp hit a homer. My question about... the end of the season, I've said, I think since the beginning of the year, the Heat win. What do you think?
Some more knowledge. Dropping stats.
With the ability to...
The Thunder have won 4 of the last 6 meetings.
Okay. Between the two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Last night's game was incredibly epic if you watched it.
I heard it was really intense.
Dude. those teams were fired. Those two teams believe that they will be in the finals. Because
they know they're playing each other. They will play each other in the finals.
Well, the Bulls have beaten up on the Heat a few times. But so you don't think in a seven-game series.
I like the Bulls, but it's Miami. And if LeBron actually gets out of his own head,
I think Rose's injury issues could cause some problems.
It's not going to be up to Chicago. It's going to be up to if Miami plays up to their potential. And if they
do,
nobody can beat them.
It's funny because Miami is one of those teams where, and I'm sure you could say this about any team that's great on paper.
Uh-huh.
Miami is one of those teams where you know when they take a night off. It's so funny. Yeah.
It's so evident.
Like Dwayne Wade has that dopey face. Like,
sometimes they play better without Wade. That's an interesting LeBron
kind of asserts himself.
Well, and the team becomes more of a team because LeBron's a total facilitator.
If you watched last night though, and I know that we have different opinions here on Fanship about LeBron James, and that's fine. Until he wins, I guess, something, according to some.
According to anybody?
I think he's won a lot.
He's won a lot of games.
Why are we getting into an argument about LeBron James?
Gotten his team to the finals twice. Now? He's gotten the finals twice.
My only point about LeBron James, people are going to argue
he's
left
middle
and
of his
right
career.
About him.
He's got plenty of time to do what he needs to
do. I think what he did with the Cavaliers for all those years.
Uh-huh.
Is more than Kobe Bryant has ever done with the Lakers. Done. Okay, but let's just stay on point here.
Let's stay on point.
LeBron James last night, if you watched the game on.
I did not.
And we all agree on this, I think, even here on Friendship. I think even Andy, who's a bit harder on LeBron, would even agree with this. If you watched the game last night, now granted, it's a regular season game.
Yeah.
The intensity factor between him and Kevin Durant. It was like it was like watching the two best players. They were the two best players in the NBA last night.
They are. I think there's a big argument to be made that they are the two best players.
It was superb. I haven't been that excited about an NBA game in a long time. Those two teams know just about that they will be in the finals. And played like it last night. Russell Westbrook was his usual cocky self. He was trying to piss off Kevin Durant. LeBron James, these guys. And he did it. And he played hard.
He's a really good defensive player. All those UCLA guys, Westbrook and Aflalo, who we were talking about earlier, those guys can play some D.
And to give the kid some props, the way he's played this year, taking the brunt, taking a lot of the shots, and Kevin Durant even came out in the media recently and said, "Look, it was towards what's his name from Pardon the Interruption,
Wilbon or Kornheiser?
No, not Kornheiser. Excuse me, the other one,
Wilbon.
No,
Lebatard.
No, the guy
Lebatard.
No, excuse me for dropping this term.
Tony Reale.
No, the white guy who really likes the white guy who's always
Woody
on.
Page. Skip Bayless.
It's not Skip Bayless. Sorry, Skip.
He's
Bayless.
Not on Pardon the Interruption.
I know. I know. I named it wrong. Sorry.
AKA the morning ESPN show for.
Sorry, guys.
Freakazoids who don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, but Skip Bayless, who's incredibly annoying, he actually has always been a huge Kevin Durant fan, has always sort of lambasted Russell Westbrook, has said the kid needs to stop shooting. I think the rest of America could agree Kevin Durant's the man in Oklahoma City. 2 days ago, Durant surprisingly shot back in Skip Bayless's direction and said, "Look, the guy doesn't know basketball. We have an agreement. We are better when Russell Westbrook shoots more." Now, I don't know about that. That's sort of like homie looking out for homie. But I do want to say that I've been incredibly impressed with Russell Westbrook this year. The kid, when I watched him play last night, he takes a lot of shots. Yeah, you're going to have some of those ill-advised shots, right? Because he's super athletic and dynamic. But he was almost as good as Kevin Durant.
If he's good, if he's open, he has to shoot whether he can shoot or not.
Kevin Durant said. Yeah. Kevin Durant said, "Look, my job is to facilitate.
If they're leaving him open,
I'm the leader,
and you believe in a guy.
And when they double team me, I have open looks. Double team. Westbrook. He's hot. I have looks.
Yep.
And my point being is that I was sort of on that fringe when it came to Russell Westbrook because after last year's playoffs, where there was some feud between him and Kevin Durant, but this year, I don't know what it is. He's mature, in my opinion. He still takes a lot of shots, but it's pretty much him and Durant's team. Of course, they're going to take a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And watching the game last night, back to my point. Kevin Durant and LeBron James, it was physical, it was aggressive, it was ugly. I mean, they laid out LeBron a few times, but the difference this year, and I know people have said this for 8 years now, the difference this year was...
With who?
With LeBron James. Kevin Durant's always done it.
Okay.
With LeBron James is, I saw a response for once.
Okay.
It was like he was pissed. I mean, it was weird. It's been a couple years since I've seen LeBron kind of give a scowl.
Yeah.
especially last year, he seemed kind of almost awkward and kind of like, what do I do with the Heat? He was, you know, he was beyond the fact that he had 34 points, 11 assists, and 7 rebounds and 5 steals. But he responded to it. I mean, well, they laid him out a couple times, and it was like, no, I'm going to win this game. Uh-huh. This is my team. Yeah. I'm taking over right now. And he took over.
Yeah, and going back to, I mean, and I think we'll take this kind of full circle now. When you talk about great players, there has to be some level of cockiness.
I saw it last night.
I go to say there has to be some level of cockiness. Kenny Smith described it in the best way when he described Kobe Bryant. He said, Kobe Bryant is a basketball butthole. And it was like a funny thing that he said. I think it was on Rome's show. He said, Kobe's just a basketball butthole. He said, he's just that. And it's a great description of what you have to be, I think, a great player and to be very successful. You have to have an element of that in your psyche. I think there's extreme versions of that, and that's when you get into guys who are, when they get too extreme with the ego part of the being a basketball
beetle. Allen Iverson, maybe, is a good example.
Or any of these guys, like we were talking about earlier.
Although I think Iverson's chip helped him.
Even those guys we were talking earlier with who come in as freshmen, they're one and done.
Okay, I see that.
They have that ego around being a basketball beehole, but there's that on the court, I hate you, I'm going to do everything I can to get under your skin, to do anything I can to beat you. And I don't care if that means I have to look goofy. That, you know, like when Kobe used to flail his arms back in the day.
I hated that.
But
everyone hated that.
That's what it is, though. That's what it is. It's this basketball.
So are you trying
beehole.
To make a point?
I'm trying to make a point.
That LeBron hasn't had this yet.
He hasn't had this basketball beehole epiphany, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
He hasn't shown that he can be that mentally, because it's not easy to do that. You have to.
So you're saying like MJ and these guys were buttholes?
Oh, without a doubt.
Well, I know MJ was a butthole.
Barkley, Malone. Yeah. Magic was on the court.
I don't know about Magic.
Oh, on the court he was.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah. He used to rail on his teammates. He used to chew them out. Okay. Riley didn't need to say anything. Magic used to, oh, man, he would give it to dudes. And Bird
was a butthole. We know that.
Yeah, absolutely. They all were, dude. That's what I'm saying. To be great. And Shaq was too on the court. He'd dunk and yell at everybody.
And he's the guy who called Kobe out originally.
Right. So what I'm saying is that if you're going to be very good, you have to have some of that in you.
Well, I mean, let's just say great, because that's what it is.
If you're going to be great, you have to have some of that in you. And
so you're
saying
that you just haven't seen it yet.
This is
LeBron.
The year. Well, you're saying you're seeing it a little bit, and I haven't seen as many games this year.
All that I'm saying is last night.
Here's what I'm saying. I think that's starting to show a little bit more. I think what he went through last year with the fans and getting booed everywhere and being the villain, I think he's starting to welcome and embrace this
idea.
Kobe got that booing his first year. There was an All-Star game in Philadelphia, and he got booed. And because
he didn't deserve to be there.
But every time he goes back and plays the Sixers, it's his hometown. Every time he goes back and plays them, he's got a little something extra for Philly. I guess my point is that Bron, I think, has the potential this year, and that's why I picked Miami, because I think he's going to turn into that. I think he's going to have a lot more of that, and that's going to be a part of
his
game.
So you're saying
that
great champions have that, who are not only great as a champion, but great as a player. Because LeBron's already great as a player.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that.
You're saying great as a player and great as a champion.
As a winner, as somebody who can elevate himself above others.
So an interesting point to be made, though, would be some of these guys who have maybe not won 5 or 6 like Kobe or MJ, but so
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Do you think Dirk is a dick? Because Dirk's one of the greats. We can agree on that.
I think at times when he's on the court, yes.
Okay, what about Dwayne Wade? He's also a champion.
You know who was more than Dirk on that team? Was Terry.
What about Dwayne Wade? He's also a champion.
Yeah, during those years that they were winning, he had to be. All the times he got fouled, he's getting up and he's in his head, he's thinking, I'm going to rip these guys' throats out. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. That's all he can think about is how
I to a degree see what you're saying, because, you know, like last night, a perfect example is this. And like I said, it was one game. It was a regular season. It's one game. I'm only talking about last night, guys, what I saw last night. Okay.
Last night.
Well, it's important to say that because people get off and want to go off into other realms. And I'm speaking just last night. Uh-huh. LeBron got taken out by Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And normally... And I kind of like this about LeBron, because who doesn't like a friendly person? I mean, that's normal. To see a star who's kind of humble and friendly.
Right, right.
You know, LeBron, he kind of has that smile when he gets up and he's like, oh, what's up, man? It's cool, man. It's cool. It's
or,
cool.
Or sometimes know? He gets up and he's like, okay, but he's way overreacting too, I feel
No. Last night, it was not pretentious. It was like he was taking the game over. Right. He got hammered by Russell Westbrook. Right. I mean, it was a flagrant foul. He was hammered. He fell to the ground. And it's like LeBron's always looked insecure.
Uh-huh.
Isn't it weird?
He didn't look insecure when that happened.
No, he got up. It was like he was pissed.
The game was in Miami, so it's easier for him.
Sure. Like I said, this is just last night.
Right.
He was pissed. It wasn't overdone, but he was pissed.
He wasn't like and walking Russell, around Russell like
tried
stalking.
Russell tried to do the whole homie thing where he's like, no. Try to pick him up. And LeBron was like, just took his hands away. Just
back off.
Just got up. Right. You know, and
but he didn't make a scene out of it.
Knocked down the free throws.
He just had a look on his face.
Knocked down the free throws and then knocked down a jumper after the free throw.
And he just had a look on his face like, okay, all right. But on the inside, there's this grinding.
And I almost wonder if it's just an age thing, Owen. I mean, LeBron, we have to remember.
It's a maturity
thing. You have to remember when LeBron came into the league, he was 18.
It's a maturity
thing. And we gave Kobe a lot of years, too.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair.
I'm telling you, Kobe had five years before.
And he had great teams with him. We have to remember that.
Yeah.
So LeBron does now. So there's no excuse.
Right.
So I think, you know, it partly could just be like a maturation.
Right.
And we've all been so quick to crown LeBron. And I think even Lakers fans I think you're guilty of this, Owen, because you only go under great scrutiny when you're great.
I wrote an article.
And I made a point about this one time you and Andy. Look, I've scrutinized Kobe Bryant the whole time, until recently mainly.
Uh-huh.
But I've always made a point, whenever I've scrutinized Kobe Bryant, he's one of the greats.
Oh, yeah.
When you're great, you don't just get glory.
Right.
You get scrutiny.
You get both.
And there's a reason why you guys are quick to mudsling LeBron James. There's a reason why. Mudsling is a harsh word. Excuse that. But you know my point.
So let me make my point.
He's great. Yeah, that's why he gets your scrutiny.
So
you think he could be great. That's why you give him this.
Right. So I wrote an article about LeBron and all the attention he was getting and how it was wrong when he was in high school. I'm somebody who hates to see a high school game televised on national television. I think local access is where high school games maybe belong. I think to have high school kids thinking
it's
that
silly.
That a million people are going to see me on TV.
It's silly.
As a high school kid, your weak little brain cannot process that. Your adolescent
when you're 17
brain,
years old, yeah.
you can't know what kind of a thing does that do to your ego for the rest of your life. So, I'm not a big fan of that. Call me old fashioned, whatever. That being said, I remember he got in a car accident with his brand new Escalade that he had when he was like 18.
Brand new Escalade. We're not going to ask how he got there.
Well, right. So that's part of
but
what I'm saying. Yeah,
though,
whatever. But know. He was in high school. And ran somebody over and had his, you know, had his girlfriend in the car with him. I don't know what, but anyway,
I can remember that.
I wrote an article about it. And so I've been criticizing LeBron and his situation for a long time. I think that he's,
but can you blame the kid though?
No, I don't. I just write about the situation because I think LeBron, you know, just like any kid is kind of a product of all that. But
sure. That
being said,
Kobe's a product of it.
Kobe's a product of it, but Kobe had a very different kind of.
Well, you have to remember
when Kobe was in high school. High school games weren't televised on national TV.
He was highly touted, though. If you remember,
like Kevin Garnett was too. But
well, Kevin
the
Garnett
games,
broke the.
All
broke
I had
that.
Ever seen, and you know me, I'm a sports fan. I was when I was in 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th grade. Kobe, I think, got drafted. He's like 3 years older than me, maybe.
He was drafted 13th in '96. Yeah.
96.
So he was 18 in 96.
So I was a freshman in 95, 96. So yeah. he would have been
he's
a senior
like
that year.
3 or 4 years
right?
old.
He would have been a senior when I was a freshman. So I was keeping track of sports then. And the only thing I ever saw about Kobe before he got drafted was like these highlights of him just dunking.
Yeah.
As opposed to a whole telecast. LeBron had like 5 of his games on national TV when he was in high school.
Media, you know,
media has evolved a lot since then.
But
and,
I still think
and it has an impact on those guys. So
it does
so,
have an impact.
So what I'm saying about LeBron and I think you're saying the same thing, and I don't want to kind of beat a dead horse here.
Well, let's go ahead and beat it.
I don't have a sound effect for that.
Yeah.
But the idea is that I think that because of all those things, starting with when he was in like 8th grade, probably because that culture has changed so much. People,
you know who had this too, and it could also not to get you off track, but it kind
Kevin
of goes.
Garnett.
No, was actually Andrew Bynum, if you remember. Uh-huh. Totally. He was highly touted.
Totally. Yeah, no,
when he was like in eighth grade.
It's,
remember?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same kind of baby.
And OJ and OJ Mayo was Mayo, also highly touted. Yeah.
And Love's one of those ones who's actually
Mayo,
come out of it.
I remember Mayo and Bynum. There was a Sports Illustrated, and Bynum was in eighth grade and Mayo was in seventh grade. And
oh,
it
really?
Was like an article.
Really?
Like
I don't remember that.
A 4-page article on those two guys. Like, huh. I mean, they were highly touted. Huh. Anyway, so go ahead and
continue. Yeah, I was just gonna say that so like there's been this system, this whatever you want to call it, culture around it that has built up since KG and Kobe came into the league, especially.
Sure.
And this culture makes these guys, and it goes back to our earlier point that we were talking about at the beginning of the cast today, and we're almost done here. But you know, it goes back to this idea that when you're made, it's like a mafia. When you're made at the age of 16, and everybody tells you how great you are, the drive to get better doesn't have to be there as much anymore. And I think it's one of the things that and I'm not comparing Kobe and LeBron here because I don't think it's about Kobe and LeBron, but the era. Kobe's an old school kind of a guy as far as some of that stuff goes.
You have to remember he had a father who played professionally, and that probably helps out.
He watched tapes of the 80s Lakers.
I
that's what
LeBron
he grew up on.
LeBron actually grew up in a single parent household.
Totally.
Which is could cause a huge
It's a different situation, and a lot of these guys do nowadays. I think that's a common thing. Yeah. And so when you talk about the attitude, the personality of those guys, I think you have to point at a lot of those things, and I think you have to say that Kobe, despite all of the hype that he had, has still managed to every offseason make himself better. He wasn't very good when he came in at 18. He was athletic, but he wasn't he was raw. He was all the things we say about guys like Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
He was all the things we say about guys like Anthony Davis or John Wall. And he's made himself because of his attitude, because he's a beagle. He's made himself better every offseason. And I don't know. I think LeBron's getting there, but I think it's going to take him a little while longer.
I just think that we have to remember that, you know, greatness is not like a logarithmic, you know, it's not like a logarithm, and it's not like an equation. You know what I mean? It's not. Yeah. I mean, Kobe Bryant.
It's different for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, so Kobe, it took 5 or 6 years, whatever. We also have to remember that there's always variables.
It's not in a vacuum.
I think you would agree. There's always variables. Yeah. Kobe came into a really good situation with the Lakers. We can agree on that. He had Shaq. He had some players who sort of set the table for him as they progressed as a championship team. That's not excusing greatness somewhere else or taking away from Kobe Bryant because he rose to the occasion in Los Angeles. But there are other variables here, and I think that also the socioeconomic thing that we talked about is huge.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe was raised in an affluent family. That's reality.
Sure.
He was raised in an affluent family.
And so here's the question. Kobe was raised in an affluent family and seems hungrier than a lot of guys who were raised in less affluent families and they seem more satisfied now. It's kind of an interesting concept.
Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? And not to get off on my own story here. I grew up in a single parent household and I grew up, you know, in welfare lines, so on and so forth. The point that I want to make here is that, you know, there's been a lot of studies done, one by a person most of you guys know, by a guy by the name of Malcolm Gladwell. And it's become common knowledge, and there's still a lot of sociologists who are working on this knowledge. But, you know, when you grow up in an affluent situation in America, there's an expectation of you. And perhaps, you know, Kobe Bryant having a father who played professionally, growing up with – I know that Kobe Bryant grew up in a family that was very much into the arts. He spoke multiple languages growing up. Spoke Italian.
I already talked trash in Italian still.
Well, I mean, one thing about Kobe Bryant that people don't know, because he's kind of always had this image of like that butthole you're talking about, and that athlete that just wants to win. He's incredibly intelligent, and which also makes him better too in a lot of ways. But Kobe Bryant grew up in that affluent family that values intelligence, meaning from like a book standard. And you know, Kobe's so the expectation was there, and Gladwell talks about this. He talks about the expectation of affluent families. You are expected. You aren't always handed something on a silver spoon. You are handed something, but then you're expected to multiply it. When you grow up in a lower socioeconomic environment, and I'm not generalizing everybody because I'm speaking about myself here, the expectation is I got to survive, and so, you know, for LeBron James, maybe making that multi-million dollar paycheck, that sets sets his mom up.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
No, no, from a
if
from
you
a,
really think
right,
about it,
right.
maybe that matters more.
Sure, sure. And that's okay. I'm not judging that.
No, no, I know you're not judging that. I'm explaining it to you.
No, no, yeah, yeah.
And so the maturation process could take longer for a kid like LeBron James.
The maturation process, not for providing for his family, you're saying,
but for winning basketball games, being the champion or whatever.
For becoming a basketball b-hole enough to win a game. Yeah.
That ultimate professional who on his resume says champion. Yes.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, when we talk about these guys and when we judge these guys, we're judging them on that and that only.
Yes.
That's the only thing we're judging them on. And
we're not saying anything
ill
about those, you know.
Right. You're right, though. I mean, when we think about those things, you know, they are people and that's...
they are people.
They are people who have varied histories and backgrounds. And I think it's a... sports are a very interesting medium.
We tend to forget that, don't we?
Sure.
We do.
Sure.
I think, you know...
Which is why guys like Kobe are so... such lightning rods for conversation. I mean, we've got off on a 12-minute tangent now about Kobe Bryant, and if you listen to other podcasts, they do too. It's this guy who brings about these and LeBron these guys who have such varied and interesting backgrounds. And I think if you looked into a lot of NBA players, you'd find kind of similar things. But it's really interesting to analyze how are they rising to where they are. What inside of them does that? And I think by looking at that, we can think about, you know, ourselves. Even
and talking about them being people, you know, what's funny about Kobe Bryant? And I think even a lot of Laker fans would agree here. I think a lot of people don't like Kobe Bryant, but they like him from just a basketball standpoint. I mean, I talked to a lot of Laker fans, and they know Kobe's. They actually kind of don't like Kobe, meaning him as like the butthole, you know. but of course, they like Kobe as the champion because you know he adorns the great Laker jersey. It's funny because then you talk to a lot of people when it comes to LeBron's charisma, and they don't like LeBron right now from his basketball resume standpoint. Besides the fact that he's great, but. You know, we're talking about being a champion or ascending what he is now.
Right.
But when it comes to him being a person, I think this is what you were touching on, Owen, him being a person, I think a lot of people kind of like LeBron. He's likable. I mean, he seems almost too friendly, like you were talking about. He's almost too friendly.
That's what I'm saying. He's not a b-hole.
He's got that big old smile.
He's not like Kobe. I think Kobe off the court is probably kind of friendly, but you saw Jordan's.
I don't think so.
You saw Jordan's Hall of Fame induction.
Jordan's not likable either.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to be straight up. If this is just my opinion, I don't know what it's like. If Kobe walked through this door right now, we would be in awe. But I don't think he's Mr. Friendly.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think if LeBron walked through the door, he can turn it on.
I think if LeBron walked through the door, he'd still have an air of greatness, like, oh, I'm LeBron. But I almost think he'd be easier to talk to.
Well, that's what you think too, and that's a similar thing.
You don't think he'd be easier to talk to than Kobe?
You would have thought when Jordan was in playing, you would have thought that about him too. You would have thought that maybe
you don't feel the way about LeBron.
Did you read the article about the pictures that people were taking?
But you
say Kobe rolls
with
the posse,
media, dude. Come on.
Okay, I think we've said it before here. LeBron had a photo shoot with Walter Eos, I think is how you pronounce the last name, with Sports Illustrated, one of the best sports photographers in the world.
It was his agent, dude.
He does the swimsuit issue.
We're smart enough to know this. It was his agent.
No, listen though. It was one of his crew. It wasn't his agent. It was one of the guys who has
a job. It came from the head up.
That guy's job is to essentially have Walter Eos Jr. not talk directly to LeBron James. He's not allowed to talk directly to LeBron James.
That's funny.
He can't talk to him. He turns 2 feet to the right and talks to LeBron's lackey and says, can you ask LeBron to put his right foot in the air, please? And he says, Bron, put your right foot in the air. And Bron puts his right foot in the air. And Bron says to the lackey, I'm getting kind of tired of putting my right foot in the air. And the lackey says to Walter Eos Jr., LeBron doesn't want to put his right foot in the air anymore. What do you want him to do?
When was this, though?
Within the last year and a half.
Okay.
I think it was last year. In L.A.
During his first year with Miami.
With Miami.
Okay. I could see that because according to reports...
Uh-huh.
Well, no, seriously.
Okay.
Can't we all agree he seemed really uncomfortable last year?
Well, he was. because he'd never been criticized.
But his teammates are saying that this year he seems like he's in a better mood.
LeBron had never been
criticized. It's possible he was scared of the media.
Can I just make this point?
I'm not saying he's not lame for doing
that. I'm not saying he hadn't been criticized at all, but he hadn't been criticized very much like he was, like, personally criticized.
Yeah, last year was huge.
I would bet that Kobe has been personally criticized and learned how to deal with it in high school because his games weren't televised and everybody wasn't bowing down. I'm sure lots of people were bowing down, but I would venture to guess that Kobe's coach or his dad or somebody in his, you know, going to what you were saying, somebody in Kobe's life knocked him down a few pegs a few times and taught him how to deal with adversity, criticism, and some of these things. And I don't know that Bron ever had that experience. If he's in this culture, this post-Kobe culture that is getting some, you know, that's getting all this praise all the time from the time you're in high school and on, I don't think you know how to deal with that adversity. And so, yeah, he was uncomfortable last year.
I can imagine.
That personal adversity.
Can you imagine that?
What, just being like bowed down from the time you're in high school?
I don't care about the bow down stuff. I'm talking about, can you imagine being in the limelight right now and everyone just is bagging you nonstop?
Yeah,
it's got to be hard.
I think I've been through enough some level of adversity in my life.
I'm just being real here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be hard, but dude, I have my good friends who aren't going to bag on me, and they might. Well, he might
have good friends who are like, look, LeBron, like, come on, you got to drain the shot. I mean, you're good enough.
I don't know that or he was getting bagged on it for
maybe
play.
Maybe it's like you're good enough. Take the shot.
He wasn't getting bagged on it as much for his play.
You don't think he has close friends maybe who are like LeBron?
No, I think that's one of the problems.
You're good enough.
No, I think that's one of the problems.
Oh, so you're saying maybe he doesn't have the right friends?
Well, there you go. I think I have the right friends. I think I have the right people around me.
So you're saying that you have the kind of friends who'd be like, "Owen, take the shot. You can take it."
I'm saying that if people were bagging on me like that for that long,
your friends who would get in a fight for you,
or I could just kind of take solace in my circle, and not give a crap what anybody else said.
Yeah, and this is the problem nowadays. I mean,
guys are thin skinned, man. I'm just saying.
Well, they are because you and I have coached recently. What?
Yes,
we can agree.
Yeah,
on that,
no,
right?
I totally agree. I chuckle because you're absolutely right. Whether it's a high school kid or a college kid,
you tell them to run one line and they're like, put out. Yeah, it's put out. Well, I mean, what is that about?
I'm going to untuck my jersey and walk off the court.
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, good podcast today, Luke.
It was a good podcast.
I had fun. I enjoyed it. Basketball related.
Yeah, anybody who listens tonight, look forward to our next podcast with Mr. Andy Stevens and Owen May and Luke
Johnson. We tried to keep it to like 45 minutes, but we're at hour 15, yeah, so that's okay. Sorry.
Because we have too much fun. But yeah,
we'll talk to you next time.
You can always skip around if you're bored with us. Just skip around. But hopefully you're not. And we're going to talk about baseball. We're all baseball guys. I got Pujols in my Angels jersey. It's beautiful.
Albert Pujols.
I have a great rotation. There's rumors that we're picking up Roy Oswalt as a fifth starter.
The Angels?
Boom.
The Angels?
As the fifth starter.
The Dodgers are offering more money.
Well, that's fine because actually, you know, that's cool. You know, the Dodgers need it. They need it.
They do need it.
Matty Kemp went deep tonight. Hey, I'm a big Matt Kemp fan. Yeah. The Dodgers, let's you know, we have a couple of Dodger
fans. We got lots of Dodgers stuff to talk about with Magic. Yeah. We'll be back hopefully later this week, and we'll be talking about baseball. I hope you've enjoyed this basketball NCAA tournament recap. And we will catch you next time. Fansmanship.com podcast. Luke Johnson. I'm Owen Main. Off we go.
Boom.
You're that Dungeons & Dragons champion whose parents forced into a sport of their choice.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com.
package of the news. Keep trying to find my way back home, but the signs out.